Welcome to the Rebel Daydreams podcast, where we have the best queer and absurd skits in the Milky Way galaxy, but not the Virgo supercluster. For example, there's this one.
Thanks, everyone, for joining Cynthia and me at our very first gender reveal party.
I'm so excited to learn what my grandchild's genitals will look like.
And we can't wait to project dozens of assumptions onto our baby, who is currently the size of a grapefruit.
Oh, I love our family, and I can't wait to add another person.
Oh, I love you, Frederick.
I love you too, Cynthia.
Hurry up and cut that cake, then we'll find out what the gender of my grandchild is.
Great idea, Mom. And here we go.
It's Genghis Khan!
What?
That's right! Our baby's gender is Genghis Khan!
I am the punishment of God!
Do you mean the baby's gender is male?
No, Mimi. The gender is Genghis Khan. You know, the founder of the Mongol Empire?
I know who Genghis Khan is, but what does that have to do with my grandchild?
The baby's gender is that Ter is Genghis Khan.
Ter?
Right. The baby will go by Ter, or Tednar. The correct Mongolian pronouns.
The greatest happiness is to drive your enemy before you, to see his cities reduced to ashes.
I don't even know where to begin. I can't believe you paid an actor to impersonate Genghis Khan.
Oh, this isn't an actor.
Right. We found Genghis's remains, brought him back to life, and taught him English.
This is the real Genghis Khan, in the flesh, here to teach our child how to act like the appropriate gender.
Okay, setting that ridiculous story aside, how is someone with the gender of Genghis Khan even supposed to act?
Well, at the age of 3, we'll begin the horseback archery lessons.
That sounds terribly unsafe.
Then, we'll have another baby. A brother, specifically. We'll adopt one if we have to. And Tednar will kill him when Tednar is 8 years old.
I can't believe this.
But the most important thing Ter will do is unite the warring factions of the Mongols to tear across the steppes of Eurasia on horseback!
But what did the ultrasound show?
It showed our child plundering the wealth of Eurasia.
Frederick, why couldn't you just have a normal gender reveal party like everyone else?
Mom, are you not enjoying this party?
Why would I be? This is ridiculous.
What is so ridiculous about our baby's gender?
Genghis Khan is not a gender.
What? That's like saying blue is not a color.
Look, there's male and then there's female. Those are the genders.
Oh, how out of touch.
Mom, this is what makes our baby so special. We're founding a new gender with Tednar.
Conquering the world on horseback is easy. It is dismounting and governing that is hard.
I think you're putting a lot of expectations on this baby. What if the baby's a girl? Are you still going to expect her to behave this way?
Obviously, the baby won't be a girl, because Ter gender will be Genghis Khan instead. That's the point of this whole party. And what is the purpose of a gender reveal party, if not to set everybody's expectations about our new child?
You just shot my son in the chest.
Ouch. Oh, Genghis.
Bow before me, you weakling.
Don't bow, Frederick.
Yes, Genghis, yes. We must do as the Khanate commands us.
This is shameful, Frederick. We have to get you medical attention.
Oh, we don't need Frederick now. Our baby will have a new father. Genghis, of course.
So That's what all this is leading up to? If you wanted to divorce my son for this schmuck, you should have just done so. You, Genghis, you humiliated my son in front of the entire family. What do you have to say for yourself?
No, Genghis, don't answer her. Instead, answer me. What do you have to say to our new child?
With heaven's aid, I have conquered for you a huge empire, but my life was too short to achieve the conquest of the world. That task is left for you.
Feels so good to be dominated.
Oh my goodness, I didn't see you there. you might think from that sketch that I'm Genghis Khan, but I assure you I am not. Instead, I am Dr. Rebel, the creative director of Rebel Daydreams. And here's a tiny bit of context before we jump into the next skit. So, as I said before, we create queer and absurd skits. Occasionally we do one-act plays also, but I mostly think of those as collections of skits. And the content is frequently filthy. We have a show about pegging in hell, for example. And if you don't like that, then the door's right over there. Oh, shit, I said it. Yeah. Anyway, we've been creating audio content since about 2023. And up until now, I've been releasing the skits individually. And this is kind of weird when some of my shows are an hour long and some of them are literally 3 minutes long. People didn't know what to expect. So I'm re-releasing it with half-hour sketch shows, and the one-act plays can be up to an hour long. And I will tell you at the start of the show, if it's a one-act play, that will take a long time so that you can plan your day. For skit shows, the timestamps are in the show notes, so if you want to skip to the next skit, you can do that. It is my goal to release the 5 hours of skits that have already been released before in 2 30-minute shows as quickly as possible. We'll have at least one release every week on Tuesdays at 8 a.m. Central, and maybe more. Check back on Tuesdays. Once we've caught up on the backlog, we will release at least once a month on the first Tuesday of the month. And hopefully the third Tuesday of the month we'll have another release. But that sounds hard to maintain, so I don't know if we'll end up doing that, but we'll certainly have material on the first Tuesday of the month at 8 a.m. Central. And I'm also creating a YouTube channel for behind-the-scenes footage and previews of upcoming shows. Most importantly, I wanted to share that all of us have so much fun making this, and I really hope that you have as much fun listening to it as we have producing it, because then you will have a very good time indeed. All right. Without further ado, here's one of my alter egos.
Patrons of the arts, it is I, Wallace Wibbly William Willington. I am here to introduce masterpieces into your ear holes. Presenting Disaster Piece Theater. The disasters if you don't fully appreciate it. And also, the best way to enjoy it when you talk about it with your friends is to barely say the word theater. And so, presenting Disaster Piece Theater. Also, this particular disaster piece is called Kool-Aid Dracula, so that's some context for you. All right, Kool-Aid Dracula, here we go.
Count Dracula, I presume?
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations on your newly purchased estate in London, sir. Sign here.
Not yet.
Ah, you wish to review the documents. Very good. I must say, sir, that I am not used to speaking to a pitcher full of liquid. Why are you almost empty? Perhaps you would like some of this wine I brought with me?
I don't drink wine. Children of the night, what beautiful music they make. Oh, yeah.
You're very enthusiastic, sir. I'll see you in the morning. But I didn't. Instead, I woke up days later in a hospital in Budapest. They said I was anemic.
I learned of Harker's ailment sometime later. In a case that would prove to be related, my student, Dr. Joan Seward, asked me to diagnose an ex-fiancé of his.
What do you think, doctor? Lucy, what's she saying? She hasn't spoken since she's fallen into this stupor. What is it, Lucy?
Cherry. Grape. Strawberry.
God, what does it all mean?
Well, she is certainly anemic, but I've heard of strange happenings lately.
Can you tell me more?
I don't have enough information to say conclusively at this point, but just to be safe, you should board up the walls of this room.
Board up the walls? But they're made of solid rock.
Trust me, John. It may be a lot of work, but it might just save her life.
I did as my old professor said, but her mother thought the boards to be unsightly and removed them.
Lucy. Wake up, Lucy. Yeah.
Is it you?
Invite me in, Lucy, and see. You gotta invite me in, Lucy, or I can't come in. Yeah.
Come in.
Oh, yeah.
Count.
I'm nearly empty, Lucy. Let me drink of you. Hell yeah.
Do as you wish. Oh, ouch.
Now I'm full of Kool-Aid. That is also possibly blood. I won't tell you.
You took too much, Count.
Drink of my Kool-Aid and you will rise again.
That's not enough, Count. I'm going to pass on.
Worry not, Lucy. You will live eternally under the stars and moon with me, your father in blood. I'll be back later tonight, baby.
Lucy, are you awake?
Oop, time to make like a bat and beat it.
What? Get out of here, you terrible creature. Shoo, shoo. Lucy?
What happened, Seward?
She's dead, Professor.
Worse than that, John. She's undead.
How do you mean?
My worst fears have been confirmed. Look at the puncture marks on her neck. No, that wasn't a bat. That was Dracula. Kool-Aid Dracula, to be precise.
He's some sort of killer, but Kool-Aid is one of my favorite drinks.
Not just a killer, a monster. He is a walking picture who fills himself with the blood of the living. Through some alchemical process, the blood turns to Kool-Aid as soon as it hits his lips.
That seems scientifically impossible.
That doesn't matter now, Dr. Seward. We must drain Lucy of all her bodily fluids. Otherwise, she too will become a glass picture that feeds on human blood.
That would be very disrespectful.
You could hem and haw some more, but see now. At this very moment, her skin is becoming more and more translucent.
But that's just consistent with anemia.
Damn it, man! Do you want another picture that bursts through walls running around? It's terrible for property values.
All right, Professor Helsing, we'll do it. But how do we get rid of the devil Dracula?
He must cool himself with ice from his homeland. Without it, he will eventually dry out, no matter how much blood he drinks. He must have hidden caches of ice coolers all around London. We must find them and destroy them.
The professor and I destroyed many an ice chest throughout the city. We went to destroy the largest store of Transylvanian ice in Count Dracula's residence in Piccadilly.
You fools! You know not what power you've awakened. Yeah!
Get out, devil!
Okay!
God damn it, I missed!
I believe we drove him out of London at least. But the vampirism in Europe will only be stamped out if we cut the head off the snake. The Kool-Aid snake, specifically.
After a long journey, we traveled to Count Dracula's castle in Transylvania. Here we are. But even after traveling all this way, I still don't know how we'll slay the devil.
I have a trick up my sleeve, John. Trust me.
Count Dracula, your end is nigh.
More victims! Oh, yeah!
Think this!
A hairdryer?
This will melt the ice and evaporate the remaining fluid. Then we can just shatter the picture.
Oh, no!
Wow, that was surprisingly fast.
That's because this is a holy hairdryer, blessed by the priests in St. Paul's Cathedral. Seward, he is dry now. Crack him open.
Ha! Take that, you piece of shit.
And so, we put the devil to rest. But even to this day, I still have trouble drinking the Kool-Aid. Especially the sherry flavor. Sometimes it tastes metallic.
Well, wasn't that a masterpiece? Or should I say, disasterpiece? Anyway, if you enjoyed this disaster piece, you can show off your good taste to your friends by sharing the episode. Or you could subscribe to the channel, or you could leave us a review. I don't understand what those last two things are. I'm a thespian, not a content creator. But nevertheless, simply by enjoying this media, you are better and smarter than all of your friends. So good work.
Welcome, everybody, to the very first episode of Kill Them All. From the Tomb of Annihilation and the jungle peninsula of Chult, I'm a Serac, the undead wizard. We'll talk more about my qualifications in a minute, but first, what is Kill Them All? Simply put, it's a monster interview show, and it's a podcast about world domination. If, like myself, you are interested in raising an army of the undead to ravage an unsuspecting world, you belong here. If, like others, you want to extract as much fortune, fame, and wealth as possible from the unwashed masses, you belong here too. And if you want to feed brains to a gigantic brain you worship in your basement, we have room for you as well. Or if you just want to kill everyone, we name the podcast after that desire specifically. Kill them all! Now, who am I? As I alluded earlier, I'm an arch-lich, an undead wizard. For your mind's eye, I'll share that I typically enjoy wearing purple robes, my trademark spiky hat, and a walking stick with a skull on the end. Despite my best efforts, part of my left cheek has rotted off, but my eye sockets gleam in a menacing way. And I've trapped the souls of thousands of naive adventurers out to get me. But we all have to start somewhere. Today I'm interviewing a new player on the block, who at this point only has a lifespan of 11 days. But I'm sure she'll soon be beyond life and death, and will be colleagues for centuries to come. Please join me in welcoming Meepo the Kobold.
Thank you, Azarak. It's an honor to be here.
Tell the listeners at home what you look like.
Oh, I'm just your standard kobold, I guess. I'm a 2-foot-tall reptilian humanoid. I have malted purple scales and an alligator's jaw. I'm wearing pink nail polish on my claws and my horns.
Tell us what you're all about, Meepo.
Well, it's much more humble compared to the stuff you're getting up to. I'm new to the business, you might say. But I have about 100 children and they're all hungry. So I really didn't mean to get into villaining. I was kind of forced into it. It's hard out there for a single mother.
But you do enjoy being a villain now, correct?
Oh, Asmodeus, yes! There's nothing like getting the better of some stupid farmer who thinks they're tough enough to come into your lair.
Boy, do I know that feeling. Tell us about the most powerful adventurer you ever killed.
Oh, that would definitely be Yatiba Hindeldorf, a halfling cleric of Helm. She had this glowing flail that turned purple every time it drew blood.
Ugh, these magic weapons, always with the blood stuff.
She actually came alone, which was bold of her.
A lone cleric? Interesting.
I was out of spells for the day, so I knocked her upside the head with a sharp rock. Then I put her into a loincloth and tied her up to my altar to Balrog the Dragon Lord.
Classic choice.
I thought so, too. But she complained about it, saying it was sexist and old-fashioned. So I tied up a few male prisoners in the same way next to her before I sacrificed them all to Balrog.
That was progressive of you. You said you were out of spells. I didn't know you were a fellow spellcaster.
Oh, it's not much. I mostly just light things on fire.
You know, as the centuries have passed, the more I learn about spellcasting, the more I respect a good, simple fire.
Oh, that's good to hear. That I'm on the right track. I like the way it sparkles.
I enjoy the scars it leaves on my enemies. I like burning down temples and orphanages. There's nothing like the smell of human fat roasting in a raging inferno. Not that I can smell much these days.
Oh, I've never burned down a temple before.
You haven't? Oh, I'm excited for you. You never forget your first temple burn. Anyway, tell us about your plans for the future.
Well, I mentioned Balrog the Dragon Lord before. I worship him, but I also actually know where he lives. And it's not too far from a little smuggling operation I ran. So I offer him tribute from time to time, and we've been getting chummy. Eventually, I'm going to ask him if he will turn me into a dragon. I've heard that's how kobolds can extend their lifespan.
Good thinking. You know, villaining is really a meritocracy. If you deliver Balrog the head of the nearest mayor or something, I think you have a good chance of becoming a dragon. Or he'll burn you to cinders for asking.
He's actually a green dragon with poison breath. So I'm going to wear a respirator when I ask. And if that goes well, from there I'll have a good 750 years of life before I start having to think about death magic.
I know most dragons look down their nose at magic that brings you beyond life and death, but I can't recommend it enough. I've never felt more alive, or dead, I suppose.
Yeah, if turning into a dragon doesn't pan out, I might have to pick your brain on becoming an undead wizard. A lich.
A kobold lich. There's a first time for everything, I suppose. I needed a good 30 years to understand the magic that made me immortal, but perhaps you're a quicker study than I was with your short lifespan.
I'd really like to escape the cold embrace of death. I'm pretty sure I will go to the Nine Hells after I die.
I remember those days. Fearing divine retribution, extending my lifespan with one potion or another. You know, sometimes I miss that. It's all so easy now.
Well, I only have 11 days left of my natural lifespan, so I better get cracking.
We'll let you get back to it, Meepo. You know what? I'll have my people send you some notes on how to trap adventurers' souls. You can use those to live longer.
Oh, I would be so grateful for that.
Not a problem. We'll see you later. Now, wasn't that something? You've got to admire that little lady's courage. There are so many adventurers that could split her skull in half, but does that stop her? No. She presses on, irrespective of the danger. I guess as a single mother, that's what you have to do. Like Meepo, this podcast has humble beginnings. An arch-lich interviewing a kobold? Some would find it ridiculous. But in this show, we hope to catalog all sorts of perspectives on what it's like to be a villain. Contrary to what some say, I think there's more than one right way to do it. So if you're a villain bent on world domination, or an orc marauding through dwarven mines, or even if you're just a mayor with a mean streak, we want to talk to you. Until next time, remember, kill them all!
I have fabulous news for you. This is True Conspiracies, where we unravel hoaxes left, right, and center. I'm your host, Rare Nadir. I know everything, you know nothing, but I'm going to transfer the information right now. Here's one hoax for you. It's about the impending candy corn crisis. Oh, that's so annoying when I do that. Yes, right into your ears.
Congratulations, Madam President.
You did an excellent job in the last administration, Nathan. You'll remain the director of the FBI as long as I am president.
Thank you, ma'am.
Is there anything I need to know on my first day in office?
Yes, ma'am. In fact, there is an impending crisis.
Well, don't leave me in suspense.
In 45 days, America will run out of its candy corn reserves. There will be none left for Halloween.
What?
I know this is shocking news. Please try to stay calm.
I have several questions.
You see, all the candy corn on Earth was produced in the early to mid-80s.
Nobody's made any since then?
The formula was written on a piece of paper, which the KGB stole. Then their plane was shot down in international waters.
Okay.
The Navy has sent many submarines to the area where it was shot down, but nobody's been able to find the formula, and nobody's been able to replicate it ever since.
If that's true, we should have run out of candy corn in the 80s.
Ah, there's a secret stockpile we've been drawing down from, but very soon it will run out. There have been North Korean candy corn experiments as a show of power, but they are unable to replicate it, as are we all.
Can you tell me why this matters?
Why does it matter?
Yeah, I mean, who cares about candy corn? I have more important things to do with this administration.
Who cares about candy corn?
Help me understand.
Madam President, without it, our psychologists at the FBI project, at best, mass hysteria. At worst, the citizens will revolt, and we may be unable to resist the revolution.
Even if that's true, we have the largest, the best military in the world. What revolution could possibly happen?
80% of the population is projected to join the candy corn revolution. Foreign nations will join them.
This is ridiculous.
No, ma'am. It is deadly serious.
Who cares that much about candy corn?
Madam President, how could you say such a thing?
I just don't understand why this is so important.
What will become of Halloween? That sacred American tradition will be ripped apart. And the delicious candy that we all crave will be gone forever. And people will revolt.
Can't somebody just make a substitute? You know, something similar to candy corn?
Oh, they'll know. They will know. We can't keep this secret under wraps for long.
I mean, candy corn doesn't even taste very good.
Whatever you do, ma'am, don't share that opinion with the public. You'll be impeached immediately.
Nathan, I hate to say this, but you're off your rocker. I don't need to know about this. There won't be mass hysteria, and people won't revolt. If this is what you think I need to know, I have serious doubts about your abilities as an FBI director.
And I have doubts about your ability as a president.
We won't be needing you in the new administration.
Oh, but you will. You will. When the world runs out of candy corn, Pandora's box will erupt. Anarchy will reign. The flame of revolution will ignite the world and burn it to a cinder. And after the end of civilization as we know it, there will be only one currency. One. Not Bitcoin, not the American dollar, not even gold. It'll be candy corn. Candy corn.
Nathan.
Yes, ma'am.
Get out of my office.
Yes, ma'am.
Nathan?
Ma'am?
Before you turn in your badge and leave the White House forever, tell me one thing.
Anything to serve my country.
Are we going to run out of gummy bears?
Sit down, ma'am. I have so much to tell you.
I've been Rare Nadir with True Conspiracies. If you enjoyed unraveling this hoax with me, share it with a friend. Or you could subscribe to the channel, or leave us a review, or all three. Together, we will turn the sheeple into the people.
Thanks for that shameless plug, Rare Nadir. So this was the first episode, and keep checking back Tuesdays at 8 a.m. Central. I hope you had a good time.